My broader question to you, I think, is about this misinformation. Do you think this is a time to put falsehoods aside, like the idea that FEMA funds are being redirected to migrants, which is just not true?
Well, it is true that, FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security have been spending billions of dollars on migrants. Now, I understand some people say they're separate funds, but we just passed a short-term spending bill. It's very common for the administration to come and ask for permission to move money between funds, especially to prepare for emergencies. And second, I would note that this administration seems to have no problem finding money when they want to spend it on their priorities. When they need hundreds of billions of dollars to pay off student loans for graduate students in gender studies programs, they somehow find it. When it's trying to get helicopters to deliver food and water and cellular service and life-saving medicine into these mountain valleys, they somehow can't seem to find the money.
I got to be honest with you. I was temporarily distracted there because I thought he said ginger studies for like a half second. And I thought, there, you know, it might make kind of some sense. So I love the questioning that they have. And this is on Meet the Press. This is Tom Cotton speaking on Meet the Press about all the FEMA stuff that we're going to get into. There's a lot we're going to touch on today, including it being the 1 year observance since the October 7th terror attack on Israel, in which you still have, you know, over 100 hostages held, including Americans. Not a peep from the administration on those Americans, hardly in this year's sense. But the latest with FEMA, because we have another hurricane barreling towards Florida, towards Tampa. People are being told to evacuate to stay safe, and we're going to give you all the latest with that. But Tom Cotton's talking to, don't tell me your name because I don't care, that chick over at MSNBC. And she's like, well, you know, you were saying that FEMA was appropriating these funds for these things, which isn't true. Why do you hate humans and all people who come into the country that don't look like you? That's exactly what she wanted to say, because that's what she said. And I love the approach that they have on it. That's her spin that she has on it. Her bias. It's like, why even sit down and answer a question? What if you, I think that we need to start answering questions the way that the media asks them. So why are you such a Nazi? You know, I would love to answer your Nazi question, but I just have a hard problem talking, a hard time talking with Nazis like that. You know, I mean, I just.
Have you stopped being racist?
Or? Yeah. If you could stop being racist for 5 seconds and I'll answer your question, Ms. Nazi. I mean, for real. Just really think that this would, you know, just thinking that that might be the way to go with us. But it is true. And we're going to get into that because some of this stuff is, dare I make you angry today? I don't know. Some of this stuff is pretty frustrating. And this is just all, you know, this is all the latest with the DEI and everything else that's been coming down. It's been infecting all of these government agencies. So before we get started, welcome. Dana Loesch with you. We're going to start your week off properly. It's Monday. Happy to be with you on this beautiful Texas October Monday, although not so beautiful for parts of Florida, which we're going to touch on. Hurricane Milton. Everyone's being told to evac. And I was looking at some of the are you guys like me? I get obsessed with the weather. If it's like a thing, if you're in Missouri, you grow up with it, right? You know how like Floridians, they're like, well, you know, I don't know. They lick a finger, put it in the wind. Maybe I'll evac. Maybe I won't. You know, they just kind of, Floridians have been through it before. And so they have a different approach than people who aren't from the area, like Missourians with tornadoes and even Texas with tornadoes as well. And so depending on where you were born and raised, you grow up basically become like being a pretend meteorologist, right, Kane? That's pretty accurate, I think. Like how Kane will know this because he, you know, in St. Louis radio, where he also cut his teeth, it's like a thing. Everybody, it's all hands on deck. Everyone is an amateur meteorologist. All of a sudden, you learn how to read barometric. I don't even know where these skills come from. They just, you know, all of a sudden appear. It's like the Matrix. You're plugged in and you can fly a helicopter. You all of a sudden know how to read all these things and be able to accurately explain them. So you're all watching the weather and you're watching the sky. And I mean, it gets down to a science. Like I can feel the dew level in the air. I mean, it's just like, You watch everything obsessively. So now I have taken to doing that with everything. And then it just expands as you age. So you don't need to, though. There's enough weather reports out there that get into it. But this hurricane, barreling towards, this is Milton. It's a Cat 4 right now, right?
It just got upgraded.
Oh, is it now a Cat 5?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. How nice for it to do that while I had my yogurt before I came in. It decides to do that. No, thanks, Milton. So Milton's barreling towards, and this is, it's the, what are they, it's Tampa, Tampa Bay. I mean, there's like some pretty direct maps. It's going to hit what, like Wednesday, Thursday, Wednesday, late afternoon, night, going into early Thursday morning. So everybody, I hope everybody's staying safe there. And it's expected to make landfall in Tampa Bay about Wednesday afternoon. They think it's going to be more destructive than Hurricane Helene. 6 million are under hurricane warning, winds up to 150 miles per hour. And they're looking at storm surges anywhere from like 9 to 12 feet, which is crazy. So it's going to make, they said, I mean, if it's been upgraded now, then it's, you know, it's a Cat 5 and looking at 150 mile per hour winds. And it's, everybody's been booking flights, gas pumps have been running because everybody's leaving. Everybody's got to. Everybody has to evacuate. And it's, yeah, it has intensified and it's Cat 5. They think it could be 160 mile per hour winds or higher gusts. That's insane. It's currently in the Gulf right now and it's just, yeah, barreling right towards Florida. Yes, Kane.
And part of that, you know, that meteorologist
Yes, meteorologist Kane, please.
It just happens to be the case that it hasn't been since 1999.
And we know these things, too. When you grow up in weather-affected areas, that sounds like a DEI term, but you know what I mean?
You forget, and then you see it again when someone else posts it.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been a hurricane to develop in the Gulf since Hurricane Brett in 1999. This one went from, like, tropical storm to Cat 5 in almost no time.
Jeez.
I'm wondering. My tinfoil hat's really zinging.
Oh, my gosh. You're not one of the weather people, are you?
I'm just saying.
I do not believe to that extent that the government can control weather. I just don't.
Well, you know, keep your eyes closed.
I don't believe it.
You want to keep your eyes closed? It's fine.
Now, I believe in Bigfoot. I believe in aliens. Completely. Oh, I completely believe there are big feet out there.
But the weather thing is a...
Bigfoots. Foots. I don't know.
That's a mile.
Yeah, you know, not to that extent. No, I know.
Interesting.
And why would people... So you're telling me that Democrats are controlling the weather to make a hurricane go and hit Democrat or Republican voter areas?
No, you're putting words
Well, because this
mouth.
Is going no. somewhere. This crazy train is going
no,
somewhere.
Just,
Where
I'm
do the
saying,
tracks lead?
My tinfoil hat is zinging, and I don't think Democrats. I think they're like
It's a
larger,
wizard with Democrat
larger
tendencies?
Groups of individuals at play.
Large groups of Democrat wizards.
Would you stop?
Just saying. Just asking.
You're pushing this off the ledge. That's
I'm not pushing
that
off the ledge.
Doing.
It's already on the ledge on
doing.
The ground. It's
it.
Splat. So Juan's showing you some of the, I love this map, Ventusky. Juan's showing you my favorite map to look at. Because you can see everything and get, I mean, you can zero in and get down to like precisely the center. This is the funnest app to actually follow. It's the Ventusky app. It really is. And you can see the wind gust. He also has, for those of you watching the simulcast of the radio program, he also has that, what is it? That's the projected, pretty much assumed at this point. We say projected because it's the proper terminology, but that's the path of the hurricane. So we're praying for everybody. Just, I know, I'm not going to sit here and tell Floridians their business, right? But I just think like when the people who live there also are like, yeah, 12-foot storm surge, maybe you should get. Let's maybe listen to those people. They had, who was it? One of their officials went out there and said, well, if you're going to stay, you might as well write your name on your in permanent marker on your arm so people can identify you when they find you. Please listen, please. And take your pets. Please, dear heavens, don't leave your pets. Oh, my goodness. All right, we got more on this. We're also, obviously, following the one-year observance of October 7th. And 1 year ago today, still, I mean, 100 hostages are missing, including babies, Americans. There's still no, and it's, there was videos of people in Gaza celebrating today, the year observance. Well, they voted for Hamas, the Iran satellite that did this. So, you know, that's not entirely shocking. And I just, the thing that really is mind-boggling, I was looking at a couple of different surveys, particularly in Britain. They were saying that there is a significant number of British youngsters who have increased their support for Hamas, and they believe that reports about October 7th are exaggerated or they think it was justified. Their new findings, 18 to 24, and they talk about how that 1 in 10 of those in that demographic have a favorable view of Hamas a year after their deadly terror attack. 13%, they think, believe that the media maybe perhaps exaggerated or invented. 16% believe it was justified. This is insane. I'm not even quite sure how anyone can. I mean, they live streamed it. It wasn't that people, I mean, the terrorists themselves, that's one of the reasons that we have all this footage, because that's terrorist footage. They literally filmed it themselves and they broadcast it. And so, I mean, good heavens, it's just, and then the attacks since then. In that time, no one has ever asked Hamas to cease fire. No one has asked Hezbollah to cease fire. No one has asked Iran to cease fire. It's always been demands of Israel to cease fire simply when they're protecting themselves. That's a crazy stat when you think of it. Think of all the protests that we've seen on college campuses here. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? But that's not all. There's more. In addition to that, the hate crimes. I don't like the phrase hate crime. I think it's a stupid phrase, just to put it out there, because it suggests that there is a crime that is born out of hate, which is stupid. You know, nobody believes this. However, crimes that are motivated by a very specific ideology, well, that's an accurate thing to say. Should it be elevated above other crimes? I don't believe so. I'm very, very of the Republic on this. However, and again, this is a Telegraph survey from London. They discovered that specifically anti-Semitic, like they hate Jewish people, crimes, that's their motivator, have skyrocketed fourfold since last year, according to new data. This was from the Telegraph, which, by the way, is not exactly a conservative entity. It's not as far left as The Guardian, but it's not a super conservative entity. And so this new survey, they said that they looked at the number of incidents for people who were motivated by dislike of Islam and compared it to the number of cases that were criminal actions that were motivated by people who disliked Jewish people. And what they discovered is that the number of anti-Semitic versus quote-unquote Islamophobic are like fourfold. They've exploded. And these are all cases reported by the Met Police just since October 7th last year. That's insane. And I kind of think that it's, well, we know in the United States that those cases motivated by dislike specifically of Jewish people have increased. So this is, I mean, think about how, again, look at what was happening on college campuses last year. It's not surprising, really, is it? We have a lot more on the way, including Kamala Harris's disastrous interview. Also, a friend of mine was shopping over the weekend, and they got a picture of Alejandro Mayorkas coming out of a very, very ritzy menswear store. He was out there shopping for luxury men's clothing while everything else with FEMA, the fallout and recovery from Hurricane Helene, now impending Hurricane Milton, is right at his doorstep. Also, while headlines about all the FEMA spending and the DEI have been making the pages. So we're gonna discuss that. And then we're also going to get into Democrats pushing for more speech censorship. Our partners over at Kel-Tec, the lightest, thinnest 9mm on the market with double stack mag. It's the Kel-Tec P15. I almost said PFF10. It's the Kel-Tec P15. Two versions, metal and polymer. Metal version has the gorgeous walnut panels on it. The polymer version has that gator grip texture. It's just nice. It's comes with two magazines, standard 15 round, minimal pinky extension. If you want the ultra concealability, it has that too. Flush fit double stack mag holds 12. Tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic, 2-dot rear. And it has striker fire reliability and a great trigger pull. Lifetime warranty. Compact, just absolutely ideal for concealed carry self-defense. This is like one of my go-tos. It's the lightest, thinnest of anything I have that's 9mm. You don't lose stopping power, but you gain concealability. It's from the inventors of the micro-compact pistol category, Kel-Tec. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So people in California are freaking out because of what is being described as an invasion of a dangerous 3-foot rat-like creature with orange teeth that is threatening the safety of residents and the state's economy. Now, I've got an objection to what these things are named. They're called nutria. There's 1,000 nutria, and it's one of the largest rodent species, and they've already been hunted down in the Bay Area this year. One of the reasons that I don't like their name is because it suggests that they're nutritious and in any way appealing to eat, and they're not. They look like giant beaver mole rats, and I don't know. But they're also known as koi poo, the animals. They weigh around 20 pounds. They pose a threat to everything. They carry tapeworms. I mean, they're like the mammalian mosquito. I don't know. They also carry tuberculosis, blood and liver flukes. This is like all the horrible things. Nutrias are made of evil, is apparently what it's I'm hearing. Anyway, they're near permanent water sources, and they're having a major problem because the population has just exploded. So they're all freaking out in California over the nutria, which is a weird name for an animal. Also, this there was a pro-God or a pro-Hamas protester who set himself on fire outside of the White House. I mean, you know, you're going to take care of a problem for people. He is a pro-Hamas protester who set himself on fire in front of the White House. The photojournalist Samuel Mena Jr. Winston screamed in pain. He set his left arm on fire. Then he realized after it started catching fire that it hurt. And he's a self-proclaimed visual storyteller. And he was screaming that it was misinformation. And I'm a journalist. And I said it was okay. Okay, well, that's no. Scientists grow a mystery tree from a 1,000-year-old seed. I swear to you, I think this is how Game of Thrones started. I don't even know what kind of tree it is, but it's some Jurassic Park type of stuff. Let's not be messing around with things that have been put to history, okay? Stick with us. Our partners over at Tax Network USA. Do you need someone to help you with the government theft agency? Oh, I mean the IRS. Tax Network USA can help. If you're facing back taxes or unfiled returns, don't wait until it's too late to hand your hard-earned money over to the government for nothing, no return on your investment. The October 15th deadline is literally right around the corner, and the clock is ticking. So if you haven't organized your stuff, you know, don't let them catch you off guard. This is where you need Tax Network USA's experts to come in. Schedule a complimentary consultation. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. And they have a proven track record of saving clients over $1 billion in back taxes. Doesn't matter if it's for business or personal. They have skilled professionals dedicated to getting you reliability and tax relief, securing you the best resolution for your tax issues and getting you the most favorable outcome. Whether it's $10,000 or $10 million, they can handle any situation, and they're flexible. Whether you're able to pay or on a fixed income, Tax Network USA provides tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. So don't miss the October 15th deadline. Visit tnusa.com/Dana or call 1-800-958-1000 for your free consultation. They'll guide you through a few simple questions to determine how much you can save. But act now before it's too late. TNUSA.com/Dana, 1-800-958-1000.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Channel 347 DirecTV is where you can also check out the simulcast of the radio program. The chat happens at Rumble, and of course, we're on X and all that stuff. And yeah, so if I look, by the way, just a reminder to people, you can't see it, but I have a giant 4.5-foot screen in front of me, a custom-built rig. So when I'm looking down, I'm like referencing, because we don't do prompters here. We don't got any of that stuff. It's just all off the cuff for 3 hours every day. Juan's showing it out. This thing is hoss. And this is what I look, all my stuff is like right down here. So this is where I'm, you know, I'm watching X. I'm watching like some of the, every now and then I can check in on the chat. But I can't really, because then I'll get lost and then I'm not doing the show anymore. And then I'll be, so I can't. I have a general rule. I'm not, and by others that have made it for me, I'm not allowed to look at it when I'm on air because I'll get distracted. But so if you see it, that's what I have in front of me. So we don't have prompters, so I'm not reading stuff off the screen. But also make sure you go sign up at Substack. We're going to have stuff coming out for you, a few things coming out for you. But this ongoing disaster follow-up recovery from Hurricane Helene, it has been unbelievable, the headlines that have been coming out about this. And I'm looking at now how they've been prioritizing the DEI stuff. Let me pull this up. There was audio where they were saying that something, it's like that somehow people who are Alphabet are somehow more disproportionately affected by weather, like the hurricane. It was something to that effect.
Is that cut 12?
May have been. And they were saying that they had this FEMA disaster preparedness meeting. And in it, they were saying that, well, we should focus our efforts on the Alphabet people because they struggled before this storm. They were really struggling before that. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. They said it was about disaster equity. What? That doesn't make any sense to me. How is this about disaster equity? Yes, it was at 9:30 this morning in Slack. Is this, if we have this, play this, because this is what they've been talking about with FEMA. And this is, I think, one of the problems in making sure that we're getting things to people. Listen.
The shift that we're seeing right now is a shift in emergency management from utilitarian principles, where everything is designed for the greatest good for the greatest amount of people, to disaster equity. But we have to do more, right? And so this topic is intersecting, I think, with a number of other topics where we have to look at policies and understand to what extent they have disadvantaged communities that had less assets, communities that had pre-existing vulnerabilities.
So they're saying
accessing disaster.
They have to. We should focus our efforts on LGBTQIA people. They struggled before the storm, was the direct quote. And this is, they also added, FEMA relief is no longer about getting the greatest good for the greatest amount of people. It's about disaster equity. What is disaster equity? What is even that? But this is what they were talking about in this soundbite. And I am trying to wrap my head around this because the alphabet people, how are they more disproportionately affected by the hurricane than people who don't add, who don't say that they're alphabet people? Do gay people get blown away more on the winds? I don't understand. Like, what's happening? Like, anchor down the gays. Like, what's going on? Do they get, like, blown up into the hurricane? I don't know.
Is there a questionnaire before they rescue you?
Yeah. Does the boat pull up when you're on top of the pitched roof? Well, you know, which was apparently a huge problem in Butler. When the boat pulls up, do they go, hey, how do you like to have to sex? Is that what they yell before they engage in? Yeah. Are you gay? And then there's probably some, you know, what was that? We can't rescue you until we know if you're gay. Is that?
Yeah. If that's the case, and we just advise everyone to say they're gay.
Just go ahead and be like, gay over here, get me.
Just do it.
Yeah. Just go ahead. Get off them rooftops.
You sort it all out later.
They said, yeah, FEMA is no longer about getting the greatest good for the greatest amount of people. It's about disaster equity. So some people, let me walk down this. Just bear with me, please. So, and this was a FEMA disaster preparedness meeting. So this is not speculation. These are literally FEMA people with official FEMA backgrounds and their official FEMA Zoom call talking about this stuff. And they're saying that it's about disaster equity. So if you and someone else are across a flooded street and you're on your roof and they're on their roof and there's one boat, then it has to go to the person who's alphabet because it's about disaster equity. That means if you have to die in the name of equity, then I guess you got to die. This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. We are taking, you know, these identity factors and making them into idols at the expense of security and safety. They struggled before the storm. Oh my gosh, I can't. One of the guys whose picture there, I don't even understand what half of his. So his name is Tyler Atkins. He's a FEMA. He works as a training manager in the Office of Resilience, managing our Resilient and Ready seminar series. It's a twice-monthly webinar. See, this sounds horrible. It discusses climate change equity and FEMA programs. Oh. They have 23,000 employees and they get like $30 billion a year. Why again? This is so. And they've been trying to community note it on X and they're trying to say it's not FEMA, but yes, we have to actually acknowledge that it's FEMA, admitting that it's FEMA because it is. So, I mean, what if you're drowning and the water's like actively entering your lungs when the FEMA boat pulls up and they don't know what to do. Like, we don't know if he's gay. You can't say, I mean, can you stop drowning for a second? Just tell us whether or not you're gay. I'm not making all this up. This is how stupid this is. And then you have this, Audio Soundbite 11. They're concerned about the shelters misgendering illegal immigrant trans people. This is all the stuff FEMA has been involved in. Listen to this stuff. This is crazy.
Being a migrant trans woman, there is an undocumented concern. There is also a concern of whether they would trust the people, places that are offering shelter that are faith-based because of the way they've been responded to in the past, then if they are accepted, what would happen in terms of misgendering, in terms of bedrooms and bathrooms, et cetera. And then in addition, public safety, once they're inside, from those who are actually sheltering with them.
You know, the first people who have been showing up to all this stuff have been faith-based people. FEMA showed up a week later, so they don't get to complain. They don't get to do any of this. They showed up way later. So it was the faith-based people that showed up first. And now you're more worried about, well, are they using the proper pronouns? Who gives a rat's ass? You've been displaced by a hurricane. You're in need of shelter. Oh my gosh, stop. This is where fantasy goes too far, where you're now actually impeding recovery, assistance, disaster response because of fantasy role play. And you can get mad that it's called fantasy role play, but that's exactly what it is. I mean, it's fantasy role play. And now it's actually affecting saving lives. This is just insane that we're at this juncture in society right now. Well, there's, you know, we don't know if they're, you know, if they're misgendering people. You know, you've got a volunteer staff usually with a lot of these, I mean, these, well, all of them, all of these faith-based entities, it's a volunteer staff. They are operating these shelters. They're serving their community. They're also dealing with hundreds, sometimes thousands of people who need assistance. We don't have time for this. We do not have time for this. Either you're prioritizing saving lives and disaster recovery, or you just want to be the turn in the punch bowl and mess everything up because you're insistent on LARPing. I mean, it just, audio soundbite 9, this is when they've been pushing this as their public relations campaign. They're trying to say that this stuff is saying these things and criticizing the agency about these issues. You're criticizing them over something false. But what we just played for you are literally two videos of FEMA people in official FEMA meetings talking about it. Audio soundbite 9.
So much is going viral online as well. One user suggested yesterday that a militia should go against FEMA. It got more than 500,000 views. What kind of impact has this had on the recovery effort?
It has a tremendous impact on the comfort level of our own employees to be able to go out there, but it's also demoralizing to all of the first responders that have been out there in their communities helping people, FEMA staff, volunteers, the private sector that are working side by side with local officials to go out and help people. I need to make sure I can get the resources to where they're needed. And when you have this dangerous rhetoric like you're hearing, it creates fear in our own employees. We need to make sure we're getting help to the people who need it.
Okay, well, you're prioritizing, though, all of this other identity politics stuff that has nothing to do with anything that you're talking about. So I'm confused. And these aren't falsehoods. All the stuff that they've been saying is actually accurate, that they're being criticized over. I mean, we've got more. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. And yeah, and they are claiming that they never gave any kind of money for the care and housing of those who came in illegally. Well, that's just false because we have receipts for that. I mean, it's publicly available. For crying out loud, it's on FEMA's website. How do you think people got this information? This is so stupid. I can't even believe we're arguing about this. So some of the other things we're looking at, too, the polling. We're going to get into all of this because there's some interesting stuff, excuse me, coming out of Pennsylvania with registered Republican voters. Registrations are surging. I don't know what that means just yet because it had been actually kind of depressed. It had been down and there wasn't a lot of ground game there. So we're going to go over that here coming up. And we're also going to get into some of these other numbers. It's still incredibly close, but there Trump has a little bit of momentum. He's got 4 weeks to maintain it. A new general election poll from YouGov, Yahoo, and then several other, you got 47 to 47 have them tied. RCP has them, I mean, within the margin of error, again, it's still tied. Very close. There is, like I said, a little bit of momentum for Trump right now. Can he keep that for 4 weeks? And then what are Democrats going to do in that time? Because at this point, any momentum Harris has, if she's losing it, then she's losing it. I don't know how you recover that momentum. It's very, very hard to start to come down into that valley off of a high after choosing your running mate, upending the Democrat primary, doing all of this stuff, coming from this, you know, polling high, this bump, you're coming down into the valley now. Within 4 weeks, it's really, really hard to reclaim that or try to capitalize on another event to give you momentum. That's just statistically really impossible. So the left needs to figure out where she is in all of this, because that is a huge indication about where we're going to be in 4 weeks' time. So we're going to get into all of that. There's a lot still to get. And we're also going to get into what's happening in Florida. FEMA was shutting landfills, and apparently Governor Ron DeSantis ordered everyone to tear down, literally tear down the gates of these landfills so that debris removal could continue unabated by the federal government. There's video of them doing it too. Number of these landfills. It's wild. Partners over at ReadyWise, you always want to be ready, and ReadyWise will be. ReadyWise is ready even if you're not. And no matter what you're preparing for, this is premium emergency survival food, not compromising on quality or flavor. And if you're going to get any kind of premium survival food, make it ReadyWise for a couple of reasons. First off, it's affordable. You have a buy one, get $100 value for $50 of their 72-hour food kit. Two boxes, 12 pouches, premium survival food. You got all your hots, your drinks, all of it. And you're getting all the calories that you need to power you through whatever you're dealing with. It's great for groups, hearty solo meal, all of it. I mean, 12 servings. I mean, there's just, it's all real and really great tasting stuff. And you get 20% of your daily carbs as well. The other thing, too, is that you know the chain of command for your food. And I think this is like maybe one of the most important things. You're not getting something coming in from, you know, South America or New Zealand. You're getting American food packed in an American plant and sent out from an American plant. So you're supporting American agriculture, American jobs, and you know the chain of command for your food. And that's what makes it an easy choice for me. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced item. It's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off at only at ReadyWise.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Remember his number, 32. Today we got 32 days until the election.
Oh, the prompter's down.
So 32 days. 32 days. Prompter. Okay, we got some business to do. All right. 32 days.
Oh, my.
And we know we will do it. And this is going to be a very tight race until the very end. This is going to be a very tight race until the very end. We are the underdog, and we know we have some hard work ahead.
It's so awkward. Guys, it's so awkward. Come on. Her teleprompter went down. So she was, I guess, just, she's trying to buy some time. So it.
I knew how many days there were after she said it.
How many days were there?
I think it was 32.
That was some Gwen Walls level repetition. Turn the page. Gotta turn the page. That was really. She's just not. She's being ripped for her 60 Minutes interview, which we're going to dive into coming up. I was actually reading just on break another piece about it, and it's just that she's just being beaten over it because it's just so awkward. And she just, she's unprepared. She's just unprepared. Not everyone is made for every type of position or to hold every type of office or to even speak. Well, without a teleprompter, she couldn't do our job. She can do my job. I don't have a teleprompter at all. Ever. I've never used a teleprompter for a speech, like giving a speech like that, ever. Now, there'll be times when I write my own copy and I would like read for like an ad or something, but she can't think like that. She can't think through like that. And it is different. But if you're used to speaking in front of people, and this has been the problem of her hiding away and refusing to do press, you know, when you're thrown in the middle of a press scrum like that, that's like training. It's like a training exercise for these politicians. That's why they shouldn't run from the press. They should take that opportunity to hone their rhetorical skills and learn how to control the conversation and champion your narrative, et cetera, et cetera. And when you hide away and you eschew all these opportunities to do so, this is what happens when you're in front of an audience and your teleprompter goes down. Or what happens when you sit down for an interview on your economic policies with 60 Minutes, and when you're asked tough questions that force you off of your, you know, talking points dance card? It gets rough. We're going to talk about all of that coming up. There's more cringe to have. There's a lot more cringe on the way, but it's worth it. And then we're going to get into some of the latest polling and what that means, because we need to pay attention to a couple of states, and I'm going to tell you exactly why and what states they are. Stick with us. Second hour. Life can take a toll on our bodies. There's no way around it. And whether it's just sitting for hours on end at your computer or if you're working a physical job, over time, your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain. Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. And the difference, instead of just masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good, and it's 100% drug-free. My husband Chris has taken Relief Factor with incredible results. So if the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as many others have done and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And when you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95 and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Relieffactor.com. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash with you. You can listen to the radio program coast to coast. And you can also find the simulcast of the radio program, Channel 347 Direct TV, as well as X and all that good stuff. So this, I just want to reiterate, FEMA is FEMA's problem. This was the, I guess, one of the FEMA officials lamenting what she described as the falsehoods and lies about FEMA response and where money goes, et cetera, et cetera, and how it's dangerous and demoralizing. Audio soundbite 9, but there's a follow-up. Listen. Okay. Sorry, 10.
Let's talk about some of the misinformation that is out there, including these claims from former President Trump that FEMA is about $1 billion short because money has been going to undocumented immigrants. Also, that the areas of the Republican areas of the state are being intentionally ignored in some fashion.
You know, it's frankly ridiculous and just plain false. This kind of rhetoric is not helpful to people. You know, it's really a shame that we're putting politics ahead of helping people, and that's what we're here to do. We've had the complete support of the state. We've had the local officials helping to push back on this dangerous, truly dangerous narrative that is creating this fear of trying to reach out and help us or to register for help. You know, people need resources, and we need them to get into the system. And it's just, you know, a shame that people are sitting home on their comfortable couches while we have thousands of people here on the ground that have left their own families.
And
they're
the ones also complaining about your response, because it's citizens that are making it into these areas before government, a full week ahead of time. But what's more, this was KJP. What was this, a week ago? Not even a week ago.
Yeah, first we hear her echoing what you just heard her say, but then it's followed by a little flashback from 2022, yeah. Just one of the many press conferences that she says this very thing.
Audio number 33. Listen.
No, Biden did not take FEMA relief money to use on migrants. So FEMA regional administrators have been meeting with city officials on site to coordinate available federal support from FEMA and other federal agencies. Funding is also available through FEMA's Emergency Food and Shelter Program to eligible local governments and non-for-profit organizations upon request to support humanitarian relief for migrants.
So it sounds like what she just said was, I lied, and also FEMA says. So it's from FEMA. They're saying this. Okay, well, there you have it.
So they're all lying. News.
Well, of course they're all lying. And I mean, you keep seeing, look, these people, I'm going to tell you something. You know, guys, there's a damn hurricane recovery effort in 6 states. And then you got another one that's making its way towards landfall in Florida on Wednesday. Cat 5, Milton. people don't have time to sit here and engage in politics. The stuff that they're calling out is stuff that's actually happening. It's stuff that they're seeing in their communities. I have an untold number of friends in these states that are saying this stuff. These are good people who have no reason to make up these accusations. They have no reason to fabricate any kind of drama or any kind of story, because you know what? They're trying to get their belongings out of waterlogged properties. They're trying to pick up trees and make their roads passable. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do for their kids' school for the next several weeks, because they're not going to have power in their area because the infrastructure has been destroyed. They're just trying to figure out where they're going to make sure they can get keep getting clean water and hot showers. They don't have time to make this stuff up for political purposes. What they're calling out is what's happening. And to discount that is offensive. To discount that is dangerous. And to lie about it to save your own big government ass is abysmal. Shame on you. FEMA should be abolished, because all of these people have been going into these areas, private citizens volunteering of their own free will. You've had private helicopter owners that have been flying in resources, rescuing people. The government is always behind, a day late and a dollar short, and the effort's always half-assed every single time. And then how dare you criticize their efforts? You know, they're staying in nice hotels while other people in the area that have been displaced can't even find shelter. Done with it. Or they're threatening people if they're actually trying to aid and assist in resources and recovery. Done with this. No, this is, and then you got this, show this photo of Alejandro Mayorkas. This was insane. He's, now look, I get that you can multitask. A friend of mine took this. A lot of people were sharing my friend's photo, and they weren't crediting him, but it looked like he was sitting outside a mall. You know, like it looked like one of those things, the wife is shopping, so I'm going to sit in the mall and have my coffee and just scroll on my phone. And he watches Alejandro Mayorkas come out of this ritzy menswear store, where they have like very expensive suit jackets and, you know, suits and shirts and all of this stuff. And he was shopping and comes out with this nice shopping bag. It just looks bad. It looked really bad, right? I'm not begrudging you. You know, it just looked bad, especially when he's been telling everyone that either the border's been secure or that they're not spending money on stuff when they are spending money on stuff. It just looks bad. And he comes out and he's shopping and he's all in his khakis and he's got his, you know, he's got his nice tennis shoes on and he's in his polo. That's a friend of mine who snapped this photo of him leaving this very ritzy store, and he'd made some purchases. And in the meantime, you know, what are you doing for the reason why this deserves attention is because he's been telling people in six states that, I mean, the way that the government has been set up and the funding and everything has been prioritized, those people are being disserviced. And you know what? When Ron DeSantis was on last week, he's right. There are a lot of Republicans in the House that have allowed for this to happen and that have allowed for this to, and there are a lot of voters that allowed for it to happen. Everybody wants to kiss the ass of voters, and I don't, because you're not babies. You're grown people. And if people are going to get offended by being told what their lack of accountability in voting does, and you're no better than the trans Tifa who get upset when they're told that just because they tuck, they can be called a chick. We're not doing this cosplaying stuff. If you want better people in the House, vote for them. If you want better candidates, get out there and donate and mobilize and don't just get in, you know, after the fact. I always get so aggravated when people get dissatisfied with the choice of a candidate, the selection of a candidate. Where were you when that candidate was being picked? Where were you when there were a bunch of candidates in the mix and, you know, there was fundraising here and get out the vote and canvassing and all of that? It's always the people who get in, again, day late and a dollar short, and then they want to complain about it, and then they want to take their ball and go home as though they have no accountability in this or any skin in the game. No, that's stupid. The voter is just as much a part of this and more responsible than the politician, because we're the people who put them in there. I get that, you know, we're not allowed to say that stuff. Oh, I can. I'm not a politician. I don't need nobody's vote. But you all know, you all listening know it's true. These people in the House have been enabling Mayorkas. They've been enabling this. They have the power of the purse. When have they pulled it? They're all so scared. We're afraid. I wish we'd lose seats. What's the point? If you're just going to go along with Democrats and be Democrat light, what's the point? Can't be doing this that close. Speaking of which, let's talk about some of the polling here. So this is what I think is weird. And I had a friend of mine that had been looking back at like Hillary Clinton back in 2016 and, you know, where Clinton was compared to Trump going into polling. So the average at a lot of these places, a lot of these pulling aggregates, whether it's RCP or 538 or a number of others, they have had Harris leading nationally. I mean, really, it's tied. Unless you're beyond that margin of error, it's just a tie. But they have her in the ahead in the popular vote by over 2 points. Now, at about this time in 2020, Biden was about 8 or 9 points ahead in the polls over Trump. But then when he finished on Election Day, when all was said and done, he was like, it was barely 4.5 of the popular vote. So it was 2 over where Harris is now. A friend of mine was looking at Hillary Clinton at this time in 2016, in October of 2016. And Hillary Clinton was about looking at where Harris and Walz are. Hillary Clinton was behind where Joe Biden was in 2020. Hillary Clinton was 2 points behind that in 2016. So that's why I'm saying it's so incredibly close. And it's the way that you interpret and look at the polls and then look at previous performances of the polling. And everything is on the table. They're in Pennsylvania. Let me pull this up. They have been registering an inordinate amount, which is good. The numbers have been coming in for Republicans. The registering for voters in Pennsylvania has surged. Pennsylvania is a state that I think Republicans need to make an active play for. Democrats were gambling it by not having Josh Shapiro on the ticket. So Trump, I think going back to Butler, I mean, it was good. Some people are like, oh, it was stagecraft. It was just, but if it helps to drive registered voters, where's the downside? You see what I'm saying? Like, that's what Republicans should be doing. I don't know. Stagecraft is where you go and register Republicans to vote. As long as you're registering Republicans, if you're just doing rallies and you're not making anything happen, then that's stupid and a waste of time and effort. But if you hold a rally and you're registering voters, where's the downside? So they had registered Republicans, the number of Republicans registering surging last month. The Republicans in Pennsylvania registered almost twice as many new voters as Democrats did. And looking at the Senate, you got Dave McCormick against Bob Casey, the Democrat. And this is it hasn't gotten a ton of attention, but it's a very interesting race in Pennsylvania because it's sort of like a measure, I think, as to where Trump could be in the state as well. It's in fact, there was over at Red State. Let me pull this up. This was a piece over at Red State. That looks into these counties being a bellwether, some of the counties in Pennsylvania being a bellwether, and how one survey conducted by Signal showed that Trump led in Erie and North Hampton, two bellwether counties in Pennsylvania. Those were won by the overall winner in 08, 12, 2016, and 2020. So they're crucial, like the battleground of battlegrounds, those counties. And by getting more people registered and doing it at a margin of 2-1 over Democrats, you're really shifting the momentum, and you could be also helping to shift the turnout as well, because Republican turnout is always what hurts. So Pennsylvania is becoming kind of the clinch state for this, more and more so. That's what it's looking like, which is why, again, it makes the Democrats gamble about going with Tim Walz even dumber. The reason that Democrats went with Walz is because they were trying to secure that left-leaning, that leftward pitch in the Democrat Party, that's the legacy that they're trying to build towards. If they wanted to be more competitive, and if they didn't care so much about protecting their Marxist shift, I don't think that they would have picked Walz. I think they would have made a play for Pennsylvania. This is a very dangerous gamble for Democrats to make. And as it is right now, they're not performing in Pennsylvania the way that they need to in order to make that gamble pay off. And the voter registration, it is 2-1. There's a net of 7,000 plus new voters for the GOP, and that's in Upper Providence Township. That's the single biggest, the biggest takeaway for registrations in all of the year. And Scott Pressler's been up there doing a lot of this. He was the one who, a little bit back, he found, so the day of the Trump rally this past Saturday, he was the one who found that the Pennsylvania Department of State were going to be doing this maintenance on their registration website. And he noted that typically, because he went back and looked at this, he said typically the registration, all of this stuff was done, you know, it's done overnight. It's done, you know, people are sleeping, so it's not bothering anybody. They were going to start it in the afternoon when the rally was going. That was kind of interesting. There's always going to be shenanigans. That's why you got to, you can't just overcome the margin of error. You got to overcome the margin of fraud as well. We got a lot more on the way. Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. They just want to save you some money, for crying out loud. Help them help you. I mean, it's super easy. Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone provider. Get free activation with code Dana. And they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. And you get the best service in your area, and you're not funding the left. When you switch, you're actually putting financial momentum around the things that you're voting to protect. They've been instrumental in helping parents, grassroots parents, take back their school boards so that their kids can actually learn academics and not be brainwashed with completely age-inappropriate materials. Parents just want to have the ability to talk about age-appropriateness for their kids. That's all it's about. And Patriot Mobile, they were instrumental in helping those parents. They have 100% a U.S.-based customer service team. You're helping to maintain and create U.S.-based jobs. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours, but make the switch. They make it easy. They got plans tailor-made for you, and you can get a free month of service using offer code Dana in addition to free activation. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by pretenders. Switch to the real thing. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, this is a crazy story. You guys remember, he's legally blind, the former New York governor, David Paterson. So he was savagely attacked by a group of teenagers. He and his stepson were out in Manhattan, and they saw these teenagers climbing a fire escape, and he told them to get down. And he and his stepson, 20-year-old Anthony Silva, they came across these teenagers. They were walking their dog. And they got beat up, apparently brutally. I don't know what happened to the dog. New York Post, though, said that they got beat up pretty bad. And it's interesting because Anthony is the biological son of Curtis Silva. So he's out there walking. I know. That's what makes it super interesting, isn't it? Yeah. So he got bruises and cuts. He's expected to recover. He had a concussion. They actually had to take Paterson to Cornell, to the medical center, where his condition was listed as okay, but it was filed as a gang assault. And these are like teenagers. I'm looking at them. Guys, they look like young. It's so weird. So Atlanta's investigator of the year was allegedly shot after breaking into the home. I don't know. This Aubrey Horton, 32, was killed in Douglas County by a homeowner in self-defense. An off-duty Atlanta police investigator was fatally shot. He broke into a home about 5 in the morning. He appeared to be experiencing a mental health episode or under the influence of narcotics. He tried to break into the front door. The individual who resided there defended themselves. A 10-year-old boy was charged after driving a stolen car near a crowded Minneapolis playground. And not just near it, but also on it. A 10-year-old boy, and it's not the first time that he's done this. So this, which is now coming out now with the video, September 20th, Minneapolis police said that it happened near an elementary school in Minneapolis when the playground was crowded, and there's like CCTV footage. Nobody was injured, thankfully, but this is the third time this 10-year-old has been arrested. Listen to this. He is a suspect, 10 years old, in a dozen cases, auto theft, robbery, assault with a deadly weapon. That is crazy. He's 10 years old. His parents also need to be culpable here.
Right.
No, we don't need jumbo beavers, but that's not going to stop scientists from trying to resurrect one. First it was the dodo, now it's this. Stick with us.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. At the bottom of the second hour, I don't know if you got to see Tim Walz talked to Shannon Bream. Shannon Bream, by the way, is one of the nicest people in broadcasting. She's like an actual Christian. Like, some people just wear the crosses. Sometimes you'll see people on cable news, and I joke around, but I'm serious. Like, the bigger the cross, the bigger the moral deficiency many times. I'm not kidding. One day I'm going to write a book, and I'll name people, but not now. Just trust. But Shannon Bream actually is a... She is a legit, she's a real one. She's, you know, she's one of the nicest people. Obviously, she's a conservative, but she also is just an anchor. Like, she's, this is a weird phrase to say for legacy media, but like a classically trained anchor, right? She's very good at what she does. So she had Tim Walz on. These are not hard questions that she's asking of him. And it was, audio soundbite 23. It was a disaster. That's putting it mildly. Watch.
The vice president has made it clear that she has policies that make a difference. Her border policies are the most strongest, the fairest we've seen.
It's
the
now, bill Governor, that you know a lot of people, including your own party, would not join that statement. There are millions of people who have come here over the last few years that, they see this as an open
policies,
border.
Well, simply, we have a policy. Donald Trump sees it as a political. Look, James Lankford in Oklahoma, the Border Patrol agents, the Wall Street Journal, the Chamber of Commerce, all said pass this legislation. You have to have Congress to authorize 1,500 new border agents. You have to have Congress to authorize DOJ to speed adjudications on these asylum claims. Those are things that would actually work. Donald Trump told us for 4 years he would deal with this. He didn't. He didn't build his wall, 2%. Mexico didn't pay for it. This is a real bill that has bipartisan support. It has the experts on board, and it starts to tackle these issues. Yeah. And we don't have to resort to demonizing people. We don't have to resort to making up or crafting stories, as Senator Vance said he did. Those things were not happening in Springfield, but it doesn't mean that we can't pass a piece of legislation to strengthen our border. That's what Kamala Harris is talking about.
Well,
she's talking
Governor,
about solving the problem.
That piece of legislation does include the wall that you guys have been so, you've disparaged that. I mean, the vice president has as well. So I don't know if she really intends to move forward with that. But it was negotiated by 3 or 4 senators, and many Republicans came out against it long before President Trump indicated he didn't like it either.
Yeah. And then there was this where they get into the abortion issue. And you remember he told this story. And, you know, we've talked about the story of Amber Thurman. And this was out in Georgia where even her own attorney said it was not the law on abortion. It was, her attorney said it was medical malpractice. Honestly, if you're taking that, what is it, mifepristone, the abortion pill, one of the effects of that is you could get sepsis, you could bleed to death, all like horrible things. Like every bad side effect is detailed as a consequence of taking that pill. She took it. And then after she was vomiting blood for 3 days, she waited to go to the hospital. Then she went to the hospital. She confronted Walz about this because Walz kept saying that it was the abortion law that killed Thurman. And it wasn't. Even her own attorney disagrees with that. Audio soundbite 24. Listen.
Wade, and about the Amber Thurman case in Georgia, her family has, and it's tragic, she is a young mother who left behind a young son, but what her family has said is it was a complication from an abortion pill that she received, and she didn't get proper care when she went to a Georgia hospital, which had multiple opportunities to intervene there. Her own attorney, the family's attorney, says it wasn't the Georgia law, it was the hospital's, what he claims is malpractice, not treating her, when she clearly showed up in distress and still had the byproducts of her pregnancy, because of that rare complication from the abortion pill. So just to be clear on the Georgia law and how her family and her attorney sees it.
I think they also indicated that had she not go to North Carolina after the debate the other night, that she would have been in a better position. So look.
No, had she just not, she legally acquired the pills. That's not an issue. So what he's suggesting still is that there was some sort of illegality due to the changing of the law, and there wasn't. That's not true. She waited for 3 days after she took the pill when she was home. 3 days. So that's not true. These are not going well. These interviews, the 60 Minutes interview was really bad. Audio soundbite 2, Kamala Harris was talking about the Middle East. Listen.
It seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen.
And it was prompted by and such as maps. And it's, you know, not a lot of people have maps. And it was such as that. That was so bad. Do you want to hear her talk about her economic plan?
Oh.
Audio soundbite 3.
Okay.
Go ahead. Just play it.
My plan
is
about saying that when you invest in small businesses, you invest in the middle class, and you strengthen America's economy. Small businesses are part of the backbone of America's economy.
But pardon me, Madam Vice President. The question was, how are you going to pay for it?
Well, one of the things is I'm going to make sure that the richest among us who can afford it pay their fair share in taxes. It is not right that teachers and nurses and firefighters are paying a higher tax rate than billionaires and the biggest corporations.
But
I plan on making that fair.
But we're dealing with the real world here.
But the real world includes...
How are you going to get this through Congress?
You know, when you talk quietly with a lot of folks in Congress, they know exactly what I'm talking about because their constituents know exactly what I'm talking about.
What?
Their constituents
This is fake. It's almost like it's fake. I feel like if you were watching this in a movie, it would fit, right?
Right.
Who is this guy? Who is the anchor? Because he's so straight-faced. Juan, can you just isolate where he just sat there looking at her? Because that man's poker face... I want that man's poker face. Because I just want to have that man's... He's just staring at her.
...out there in our nation don't have maps. And I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should...
Give me the anchor's face, though,
over here.
CBS, because he was so good. He was so good. And he just was like very... He just was looking at her like, I am unmoved. Look at his face. He is not, that's a poker face. Look, he's like amused. He's not sympathetic. If you're her and you're staring at his face, can you read him? Can you read his face?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell whether he's got a touch of incredulity on his countenance? He looks like he's going to laugh at her, but he's also being it. Oh my gosh. And he's like, but that's first. He's like, you didn't answer the question. And this is CBS. They hate her. Oh, my gosh. It's so bad. It's so bad. But there's more. Because isn't 7 related to this, too? Or is this... I know somebody said... Go ahead and play 7. This is so bad.
I want to take a moment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
And
this
can
is
we
that,
try...
Skank podcast.
...to think of any law that gives the government the power to make a decision...
I know what you're going to ask.
...about... a man's body.
Let's no. No.
Is there any law?
No.
Really?
No.
Child support. So she can't go and do... She's only done like what? She did 60 minutes interview and then she went on... It's a sex podcast. And this chick brought her on to talk to her and it was like, you know, kind of that kind of stuff. And of course they talked about abortions because heaven forbid you be a woman and you do a podcast and you be on the left. I mean, that's all you talk about. Sex, vaginas, abortions, baby killing, blah, 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 being a hoe. That's it. There's no lie. And she couldn't even answer why. I think what audio soundbite 5 is this, because she was asked, well, why did you do this like podcast that didn't even touch on any serious issue? All you talked about was sex and abortion. Why didn't you like talk about anything serious? And this was her, again, if you want to try to wade through this answer, boy, audio soundbite 5.
I'm curious, like you don't do too many long form interviews. What made you want to do Caller Daddy today?
Well, I think you and your listeners have really got this thing right, which is one of the best ways to communicate with people is to be real.
What?
You know, and to talk about the things that people really care about. I mean, what I love about what you do is that
it's about sex.
Your voice and your show is really about sex. Your listeners. And I think especially now, this is a moment in the country and in life where people really want to know they're seen and heard and,
oh my gosh,
and that they're part of a community.
This is so stupid.
That they're not out there alone.
This is so embarrassing. And, also, what is with that obstetrician set? Like, it looks like you're about to go in the corner and throw your legs in stirrups. Is it just to, like, reinforce that whole, like, hey, you're at the gyno? Is that, like, the whole shtick of it? It looks like a giant gyno set. Am I wrong? I'm not wrong. With all the Amazon accoutrements. I mean, I can, like, sit here and be like, that's all Amazon wish list from some chick named Becky out in Utah. And it looks like an obstetrician's office. That's what it looks like. That's what the whole set looks like. It's a giant maxi pad commercial. That's it. With wings. That's like supposed to be like the it in podcasting and chicks. And then it's Call Her Daddy. Just How about Shut Up, Bitch? How about that as a podcast name? I'd be great with it. What? I'm not wrong. You know I'm not wrong. Can I stop with the blonde wood? Hate it. Hate. It does, though. You don't go into those offices, King, because you're a dude.
True.
I mean, when you go into the man's office, it's like going into a mechanic shop, isn't it? I don't know. I'm a chick.
No,
I don't go there.
Not,
I don't go into men's
like
spaces.
The mechanic. It's quite different than the mechanic, but that did look like just a general doctor's office feel, like a waiting room sort of doctor's office thing. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah, it looked like there's going to be like some spa music playing, and then somebody's got a diffuser in the corner, right? One of those oil.
Essential oil.
Yeah, essential oil diffusers. There's probably like a bowl of crystals out there.
Palo Santo.
Jeez. I mean, it makes me, I'm allergic to that. Those are the interviews that she does. That's what she does. I don't know. And then you have this. You have Jen Psaki saying, well, they're going to start taking more risks, Walz Harris. Which one was this? I had this highlighted and I just let it go. She said that they're going to start taking, yeah, Audio Somebody 25. A big shift is coming. They're going to start taking more risks. Like what risks? Listen.
We've already seen them announce this, which I think is a great thing. Vice President Harris has a number of interviews she's doing over the next couple of weeks. Tim Walz, who I think is a huge asset who hasn't been tapped into nearly enough for the last month, is going to be out there a great deal. And you're right. I mean, the thing is, at this point, when everything matters, you have to take risks. And people may make mistakes. It's worth it. Put them out there and have them doing a bunch of stuff. But we've already seen them announce their plans to do exactly that.
So what? I'm curious, like, are they going to go and what are they doing, Kane?
The risk is probably they're planning an actual sit down interview that isn't edited, that's live. That would be risky.
But they've been going so well for them.
It'd be so risky.
The sit downs. Been going so well. We got a lot more on the way. We got Florida Man coming up.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I read this story because it's insane. It's the headline is from the CBS affiliate in Martin County, Florida. It said from strip club loan to arson attempt, how a $100 debt ignited a near tragedy. So it talks about this Uber driver and deputies who stopped a deadly arson attempt. But the reason they were able to stop it is because the Florida man that the Uber driver picked up, said he's on his way. He's going to go burn down his friend's trailer and he's going to be using some gasoline that he has because his friend has not paid back a $100 loan. He gave him to go to a strip club and have a night out. And then so the Uber driver like was able to signal to authorities and they arrested this guy. This is a crazy story. So they picked the guy up and Carlos Flores, he was livid, 33-year-old. He was livid because he gave his friend, he said, $100 to go to the strip club. Why would you do that? And then his friend never paid it back. His friend insisted that he did, but Flora said it didn't happen. So he literally hired an Uber driver to drive him to his friend's house where he was going to burn down his friend's trailer. And I guess just get in the Uber and go back? Like, how is that going to work? I don't know. The driver was, like, understandably alarmed. And so he discreetly alerted the deputies. And so they had Marin County sheriffs. I mean, then they smelled the gas on it. Like, they smelled that he had accelerant on him. So he also had a knife. And so I guess he was going to stab his friend. He was he got out. And the Uber driver, they were like, I guess, you know, act normally. And the deputies apprehended Flores. But Flores was able to pour out some gasoline around the house and he was going to light it. That's crazy. So I honestly could not be an Uber driver because I think it's harder if you're a chick. But also, you got to be in a vehicle with weirdos sometimes, right? Like, I appreciate the drivers that go above and beyond and they make it nice, you know, and they got like water. I mean, I always love giving them guys like great ratings, but I would be weird. Like, what if you get a jack wagon who's like bringing gas to his friend's trailer to Barney's house down? Like, what if you got to give that guy a ride and you got to commit? Like, you don't even know he's crazy until the journey has begun, right? You know, drivers can give you ratings too. What kind of rating do you think that guy got? I bet he can't ever take Uber again. Yeah, I bet he can't. So this man was at a campsite. Got to talk about this guy. Yeah, if you would imagine what people who have meth at a campsite would look like, yeah, that's about right. A Florida man was arrested on a drug charge after a methamphetamine was found at his campsite near Holmes Creek Boat Ramp. 41-year-old Michael Ryan Forbes is charged with possession of meth. He was also going to manufacture, sell, or deliver a $2,500 bond. They said that the sheriff's deputies were summoned to Holmes Creek Boat because of suspicious activity. And, of course, they found people with backpacks loaded up with meth and glass pipes and all kinds of stuff. And they busted like a whole bunch of people. So I guess they were there. Man, one of the guys, Kane, yeah. Tell me that you see the guy with the long hair who literally looks like he was hired. He's like, yeah. He's like a cat. He looks like if a sloth became a person and went to jail for meth, it would be this guy. 48-year-old. He's 48. This guy. Oh, no. Is this a 52-year-old or a 48-year-old?
I think it is the 48-year-old.
I mean, he looks. I can't tell.
Oh, wait. 41, right?
Dude. Yeah. That guy, that Juan is getting ready to show you. It's if a sloth became a human. That looks like a fake hair. It looks like a wig. Anyway, they were all arrested because they were going to distribute this meth from this boat ramp. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. Welcome back to the program. Top of our third hour, ladies and gentlemen. Always good to be with you, getting you set up for the week. Talking about polling. We've been watching Hurricane Milton. The names are fascinating to me. Hurricane Milton is the next one. It's a Cat 5 barreling towards Florida. And it's nerve wracking. I hope people are going to be careful and pay attention if you got an evac. So we're going to be watching all of it. So again, welcome back to the program. Channel 347, DirecTV, X, Rumble, all that good stuff. So it developed off of like Mexico, off of the Yucatan Peninsula, and it's like north of that. And then they've issued mandatory evacuations. People are scrambling. We got a lot of listeners in the area. Juan's showing you. It's not a projection anymore. That's where it's going. And they're also saying it's anywhere from like in some areas 9 to 12 storm surge and some 20-foot storm surge. Milton, they said, has the potential, Hurricane Milton, according to AccuWeather's chief meteorologist, to become one of Florida's most damaging and costliest hurricanes. Looking at Tampa, Venice, Fort Myers, Naples, Marco Island. And they're looking at a storm surge of 10 to 15 feet just north of Tampa through Fort Myers. And they said that should an intense Milton track just north of Tampa, they're looking at those 20-foot storm surges. That's catastrophic. They haven't seen that in modern history in Tampa Bay. Now, Tampa International Airport has closed as evacuations have begun. They're suspending all commercial and cargo operations beginning at 9 a.m. ahead of the hurricane. They don't know when it's going to reopen. So they got storm shelters open, the whole nine yards. So we're just kind of keeping an eye on all of this stuff as this is ongoing and hoping everyone stays safe and listens, especially if you're in an evac area, to make sure you listen and evac if need be. So while this has been happening in Tampa Bay, too, I wanted to pull this up because they were talking about, I was reading a piece on the infrastructure. Why they said Tampa Bay was particularly vulnerable. They were saying that it's kind of the region, and it's a susceptible place for flooding. 700 miles of shoreline, 3 million residents. Usually it's in an economy that's dependent upon winter tourism. And because of that and a lot of the development, but it'll be, gosh, just prayers for everybody to stay safe that are in Tampa Bay. I wanted to, now we're following this, we also have the year observance of October 7th. A year ago, 100 hostages, many of them Americans, many at least 7-8 Americans, haven't really heard a lot about them from our government anymore, right, Kane?
No.
And we got kind of some word salad, I'm going to pull this up, from Kamala Harris about this. She, audio soundbite 4, she wouldn't actually talk about Netanyahu as an ally before October. This is just weird from her. Listen.
Do we have a real close ally in Prime Minister Netanyahu?
I think, with all due respect, the better question is, do we have an important alliance between the American people and the Israeli people? And the answer to that question is yes.
Just say, I mean, you can't say if he's an ally one day before. I mean, this was an interview. Bill Whitaker was the guy who did it. And I thought he actually did a good job. And she couldn't say, I mean, it's the day before October 7th, and she can't say whether or not that's He's an ally. It's just her interview with 60 Minutes was a disaster. It was a disaster. She cannot think on the off the cuff. She cannot. She cannot. And Democrats just want you to get over it. This was weird, too. I wanted to touch on Audio Soundbite 31. So even though it's Joy Behar, and I don't really think that she's influential, I think what she's saying here is something that I have heard reiterated from a lot of Democrats going into this. It's like an excuse to cover the inadequacies of Kamala Harris. It's an excuse to cover how Democrats upended their own primary and kind of did a, well, not kind of, they did a bait and switch. But listen to what Joy Behar is. She's like talking to Republicans here. Audio Soundbite 31.
I would say to those Republicans out there who are sitting on the fence, just do it this one time. Do it this one time. Vote for the Democrat to save the country. Listen to Liz Cheney. When everything goes back to normal, then become a Republican again, like Alyssa will become, and probably
Kamala said.
So what they're playing to here is something that I've heard and seen repeated often on the right. There are people on the right who think that, well, you know, we got to save conservatism, so we might have to take one for the team this time. And that talk has filtered over to Democrats. And that's what she's playing to here. As a way to benefit, she acts like, well, you know what, just do it this one time and then you can go back to being a Republican. And there are some like Liz Cheney who are taking her seriously, who take that seriously, who believe in that, which is stupid. Liz Cheney, of all people. Remember all the stuff that they said about her dad? Democrats are not happy with no matter what you sacrifice to them. They were calling different Republican officials war criminals. My gosh, they said Paul Ryan was trying to kill your grandparents. I remember being part of the Tea Party and they were castigating us as being domestic terrorists. I mean, they've never been happy with anything. These are the same Democrats that have been persecuting good people throughout the press for, you know, years before Trump ever saw national light, political prominence nationally. And so they act like, well, this one time, and then you can go back. You can never go back. That's not acceptable. A sacrifice once made is a sacrifice that cannot ever be retrieved. You can't, no takesies, backsies. But that's what they're talking about. Oh, you got to save the country in what way? You don't save it by obliterating it. You don't save it by ruining it. But this is, they're playing to that. Oh, just listen, Republican voters. Do it just this one time. And then you can go back. A lot of these people, and this is the issue I have. Because I rarely even 80% like a candidate 80%. But this is how you got to look at this stuff. You have one side in this country that wants to emotionally blackmail you into thinking that you exercising your vote as you would exercise movement of a piece across a chessboard is tantamount to a personal endorsement of everything personal about that particular piece or that particular politician. And that's a tactic that they will apply to you, but not themselves. Because they don't want you to strategize. They want to try to hoist you by your own petard, so to speak. They want to make you think, well, you're not being consistent if you're voting for someone who is flawed. You're not being consistent if you're voting for someone who has issues. Even if you're just voting to advance your issues. Don't ever conflate the two. This is why, and I don't mean to have it sound as a pejorative, but these politicians are tools on a chessboard. That's all they are. How, you're not being best friends with them. You're advancing your interests. I am selfishly involved in this. For me, I want to be left the hell alone and not have give all my money to the government. What candidate, what tool best advances that on the board, in the election? What tool does? What candidate does? That's how you got to look at this. But they want to emotionally blackmail you into thinking, no, you're taking on everything about this candidate. Well, that's not true. They've never have. They never have. But that's your, I see these people like, you know, the Nepo baby on The View and these others. You're either voting to advance your issue or you're voting against your issue. It really is as simple as that. I mean, if you can't, and a lot of these people, they're just angry. Some of these Republicans are just mad because they feel like I think that there are two different establishments within the Republican Party, and then you have conservatives. And I think that there's a fight between two parts of the establishment right now. And one of them's mad that they got waylaid. And so they're, you know, this is like a revenge tour for them. But if you're abandoning your issues, it's one thing to say with some of these people like Cheney that you're just going to leave the top of your ballot blank, but you're going to vote Republican for the rest. It's one thing to say that, and it's one thing then to go out and say, oh, I'm voting for Kamala Harris. Because then you're endorsing all of the issues that you have made a career in saying that you oppose. So then it becomes not about issues for you, not about principle. This is personal for you. And you're putting the personal before the principle, which is one of the most unpatriotic things I can think of. It's unpatriotic to be so personally blinded that you kneecap yourself principally because you're trying to get even. And that's what these people are doing. Again, it's one thing if for those who are just so prevailed upon, if you know, it's one thing to leave it blank, but it's one thing entirely to vote for a damn Democrat, to vote for Harris. You're voting for those issues. You're voting to advance the other side. That's your own goal. I don't get that. Because then you've never been a conservative. You've never been a Republican. If you're willing to sell out your principles, then did you ever have any in the first place? I don't know. Cain notes that people are moved by emotion more so than values. Oh, I think so too. I agree. But it's still frustrating all the same. Can I tell you about the lesbian captain? New Zealand lost its first Navy vessel since World War II. The Manawanui, a $100 million survey and dive vessel commissioned in 2018, ran aground, burst into flames, and sank off the coast of Samoa. Dang. Now, wait a minute. What? Yeah. So this is a very weird story. So the lady who did it, or the lady captain, she was a British person who moved to New Zealand and then, I guess, took commission of this vessel. And this was in 2012. So the accusation is that she was a DEI hire. People weren't mad because she was a woman. People weren't even mad because she was a lesbian. They were mad. And the accusations are that she was advanced faster up the chain of command because she was a lesbian. And not because she was particularly skilled. It was the first ship command in her naval career. And the accusation is that she just did not have the record to do it. The crew was rescued overnight. 75 crew and passengers on board safely rescued. But it crashed into a reef, caught fire within 15 minutes and sank. So now there's like an oil spill that they say are going to hurt the whole fishing ecosystem because people eat the fish that they fish on it's going to hurt it there. It's a $100 million vessel and it's, you know, off the Samoan coast. And no one knows, there hasn't been a report yet as to why it lost power, but they do a lot. She posts a ton of photos of her posing, talking about exclusion. Like one she posted, a great team requires effort and recognition. No room for exclusion, no room for bullying, pink shirt days or something like that. I don't know. And she's like, all diversity is our strength and all this stuff. There's like more on that on her socials than like anything else. It's like activist stuff. So, it's New Zealand. So thankfully it wasn't us, but still. I mean, there's jokes about women drivers here, but this is like some poop booty juge level. Yeah, she clearly, as Kano, it's excluded her training.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A new social media campaign was launched last week with the hope of drawing people back to Oakland. It's called Oakland is Better in Person. And they're trying to highlight the city's culture and businesses, and they hope to use social media to do it. Yeah, good luck with that. Somebody's paying for this, and that's going to be a waste of money. I don't know. So KSTK. A group flying a swastika flag held a demonstration over St. Louis area interstate. Yeah, I'm sure it's not feds. I'm sure. Why is this even a thing? Why is this even a headline? They were all wrapped up and covered up. They look like Fed boys. It looks like a Fed thing.
But people that were, you know, we're friends with a lot of people still in St. Louis. They were posting as though this was real and such a devastating thing and a signal how far we've fallen in society. It's like, people, do you not get this?
Yeah.
Do you not get it?
The most popular Halloween candy They had it by state. And I think it's what, Sour Patch Kids in Texas and in Missouri. It's Almond Joy. Which one of you people, who is he, who are you in? What is wrong with you people? Florida is Reese's, so at least they did it right. Sour Patch Kids also in Alaska. New Mexico's Hot Tamales. Hershey's Kisses, so basic. Now in Utah, it's candy corn. By the way, candy corn is a phenomenal supreme Halloween candy, and I'm tired of pretending that it's not.
I don't see how that's how it is.
It completely is, and you can stack all the little kernels together and make a corn cob.
It's like somebody chipped off a little candle and said, hey, here you go. Here's some candy.
It's delicious. It's not- let's see. Sour Patch Kids are like the big winner almost everywhere. Ohio is Blow Pops. Yeah, what's wrong? What are you guys, what? Indiana is Starburst. Virginia's Butterfinger. Connecticut also has Almond Joy. I don't know what's wrong with them. I don't get some of these like boring, like the, too many has like Skittles. Louisiana's Lemon Heads. It's kind of interesting. Arkansas's Butterfinger. Yeah, that's just odd. Blow Pops is probably the most boring one, is Blow Pops. I don't get it. And last but not least, the Supreme Court is going to weigh New Mexico's $10 billion lawsuit. $10 billion lawsuit against firearm manufacturers. We're going to talk about this later this week. The bulk of the suit was tossed out on other legal grounds, but they're trying to talk. The weird thing is they're trying to talk about trafficking, which I'm like, how are you going to bring that up without talking about Fast and Furious? Yeah. We got a lot more on the way, including the latest with Hurricane Milton, the election, culture, all kinds of stuff. Stick with us.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. The bottom of this third hour. You guys remember, this is, I was reading this from the Wall Street Journal. You guys remember the trade that we made for Brittany Griner? Yeah. And the trade was to get her back for Viktor Anatolievich, a major Russian arms dealer that they call Merchant of Death. And he was released by the Biden administration in 22 in exchange for Griner, who was arrested because she brought cannabis oil into the country, knew it was illegal and did it anyway. Well, apparently he's already arranged for, because he's been released, you know. He's already arranged for another shipment of arms to the Houthis. It's the deal's in process. And so people are trying to community note, which is getting destroyed on X, because they're like, well, he hasn't made the deal. No, he literally, it's in progress. It's going to be May. They've already transferred funds. It's according to Wall Street Journal. Are you stupid? Stop playing semantics. So he's already made a weapons deal with the Houthis in Yemen, an Iranian-backed terror group. Just FYI. I feel about that. Yeah. There's a reason why the Russians wanted him. I mean, one of the most baffling trades ever, but, you know, there's a reason why. So he's already back at it. Interesting. Keep that in mind. See, stuff like that in the interviews from Harris Walz that I think are, that's why we're seeing a bump to the bottom for Harris in polling, although don't get super excited yet. I just don't, I look at it like this. If Harris and Walz are already now careening downward into a valley, there is not going to be, there's no way that they can recover it. There's, I mean, Kane, what do you have to have if you're a Democrat and you're watching, and I'm not, I don't want people to get excited and think fait accompli, we're done, but I don't know what anything that you do to get back that momentum.
No.
4 weeks out.
No. There's nothing you can do. I mean, short of
an stop it.
I'm just saying.
A crazy October surprise that they would have, but they've already threw everything out. They don't have anything new. So
That partially explains why Kamala's got the big media blitz this week.
Oh, she's trying really hard. She's we're less than a month now.
Yep.
And her campaign schedule is actually kind of light, which is weird. She's not really doing any serious interviews. The 60 Minutes one was like as serious as I think you're going to see. She's, it's just odd. They said that they said at this time last month that they were going to ramp up her campaigning in October, but now, I mean, it's the 7th. Well, so
I think Democrats are just so used to the media doing the campaigning for them that they feel like all they have to do is go out and do these, you know, upper echelon shows and show face on TV. And that's worked for them and has worked for them for quite a while.
And so, don't you think that the media would probably be a little bit more in if she was in the lead? Because they're tied. Which is insane, but
they're not even,
you know,
tied. I don't even believe.
I believe
any
that they
are.
I think that they are. I think it's so close that it's a virtual tie.
I'm not convinced.
Tie.
I'm not convinced.
I am, and I caution people. They need to think that way if you want to win. You got to.
Yeah. No. 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 I'm not saying I'm unconvinced to the point where I'm not going to vote. I'm just saying.
And here's why: Joe Biden, going into 2020, if you weed out some of the garbage, it was like maybe 4 points over, maybe 4.5 over Trump in 2020 at this time last year, and Harris is not near that. See what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
She's not in the lead. She's already losing any momentum she got with the running mate and the DNC and all that stuff. She's not making herself available in the press. So it's, well, how do you regain that momentum? I don't like to go off the betting averages, but I do think that people who bet money are informed about what they're betting on. And they like to get up-to-date information. I do think that. I think that's accurate, right, Kane? I'm not being dumb on that.
Yeah, but also if I'm betting and I know that one side has the ability to rig it for themselves, that I would lean my bet towards that side. And that's just how it would go. It doesn't mean that I have inside
information. Well, no, I'm saying betting is taking away her momentum. Betting odds are taking away her momentum.
I see here she's still up in betting. She's like 51-52.
See, and this is why it's like so close and it's going to go back and forth.
I'm convinced that the polls are designed to create this whole narrative.
Some are, yes.
When it comes down to it, people are like, oh, what are the polls are saying? I'll just vote the way the polls are saying. I think they've enjoyed that system for so long that this is how they do it. There's no way that Kamala Harris, who had zero votes to become where she is right now, zero. And in 2020, she didn't even get any delegates. So I don't believe any of this stuff. And I think it's all designed to get people to think a certain way as we get this close. I don't believe any of these polls.
I mean, potentially, but I think that some polls are absolutely designed for that, and some are not. Some, I think, are genuine measures. And the problem is knowing which is which. And then when you conflate all of it together, it makes the whole lot untrustworthy, and it makes people skeptical of everything. And you just have to learn what to pay attention to and what not, how to identify push polls where they're answering you and just saying, do you agree with what, you know?
Yeah, I look at the sample data, and everyone that has a largest sample data, I tend to give those a little more weight. If it's
registered over likely.
Yeah.
You know, all
right,
of that stuff.
That type of stuff.
But I think, you know, some of the things factoring into this are the hurricane. You're seeing a marked difference in disaster response. And I got to tell you, I really need the RNC to hit this more, because they're not. DeSantis has been all over it. Some of these other governors have been all over it. The RNC needs to hit it more. The RNC needs to be like, look at what Roy Cooper's doing, and then look at DeSantis. Here's the difference between red and blue governance. This is how you've got to apply this to November. That needs to be the messaging going forward. I kind of wonder if they're a little scared to do it. Because Democrats are all about exploiting everything, no matter how tragic. They totally will. They don't care. But I kind of wonder if Republicans are a little scared. Stop being scared to do it. Just do it. Do the thing.
Right.
Do it. Because, this and then this, you know, the situation at the border, you also don't want to overplay your hand either. But, you know, the situation at the border, another big, you know, that's to talk about these issues and to contrast. I mean, there's no better contrast of approaches and governance than this. I like, for instance, let me pull this up. This was wild. I saw that. So, like, for instance, the DeSantis administration in Florida, just one example, blue and red governance. They had a Pinellas landfill that was closed. The governor had to reacquaint everyone with his 24/7 debris removal ability ahead of Milton, because people were trying to figure out how, you know, we got to be able to get the stuff off the road. We got to be able to, you know, to get debris out of the way. And they said that the some of these landfills, they were locked ahead of the hurricane, and DeSantis officials forcibly busted open the gates to make sure they could be accessed so that they could this stuff could be removed, so they could get debris out of the way. I think it's crazy that these places were just going to lock up anyway. I mean, you could heavens. So this, I'm happy that they, I don't know if that was a FEMA order or what that was, but he was like, no, we're just going to rip this stuff down. What would Cooper have done? In fact, theirs are probably all still locked up. I mean, it's just an example of governance and who's allowing, some of these states in North Carolina, they get the feds running roughshod over everybody who's trying to offer some assistance and do drops and all this stuff. I mean, I was watching, I have friends who are there involved in this right now. And they have the ability and the resource. I mean, all I can do is send money. But they have the ability and resources to take that money, know exactly what supplies and equipment are needed, and get in there and get into these really impassable or impossible to get to areas and get in there and make sure that people who are getting resources can get it. And you get the feds there that are, well, no, this is our jurisdiction. We're handling this for you. You've heard all those stories. Those aren't false stories. The people that are there, I know like so many of these people, a lot of them aren't partisans. I mean, they're politically minded. You know, they're like-minded, but they're not zealots. They're not partisans. They're not going to go off and like drumbeat over everything. These are just neighbors helping neighbors. And they also understand that in these communities, especially the people that have the resources or equipment to do it, they know immediately what's needed before the government's ever going to. So I got FEMA coming down a week later and then acting like, oh, we're helping. It's shake and bake and I helped. Telling you. But all of this stuff, by the way, is playing into the general tenor, the general sentiment for how, you know, people are they're absorbing this and then applying it to their perspective on November. And I think that that's part of the reason why she's struggling. Another friend with me shared over at Polymarket, Trump was up on the betting odds. Now, on some of the polls that are legit, I think it shows it really close. And you're not going to be, again, these are all prognosticators, and these are all just general guesses. Some are well-educated guesses. Some are the methodologies, they're well-reasoned guesses. But they're guesses all the same. And anything can happen. And people are emotional, and we are in a stressful period, and you got hurricanes and everything else. Anything can happen before November. So my whole point in telling you this is I think it's good to give you a general lay of the land, but I don't think that you should go off it like it's Bible. I don't think that it should be a plan for how you engage in your area. You just need to make sure people are going out to vote. You know, everybody's got a responsibility to do that. Make sure everybody can, like, if they're college kids or if they're military or whatever, that they're getting their ballots and they're able to do whatever they got to do where they can do it. Because you have fraud in every election, but you got to get out. The biggest problem that Republicans have is turnout. And so you need to you can't just beat margin of error. You got to beat margin of fraud. And in all the places in every election where Republicans turn out overwhelmingly, like 2016, you saw people turning out. They ain't never even turned out before. And look what happens. In 2020, it was down. It was depressed. In 2018, it was down. That is a fact. Because I saw the hard data. And I was a little shocked. But that's the way it is. Republicans, their own worst tendencies to stay home. And we got to get over that. Now, the few other things. I'm going to make sure that we're wrapping up. Hurricane. Oh, please, everybody stay safe with Milton, because that thing's going to make landfall Wednesday. Don't forget your animals. Don't forget them. I had one. If we're going to have it. There's a couple things that I'm going to say here. Audio soundbite. This is 28. This is Hillary Clinton talking about free speech. Listen to this.
You're absolutely right. This should be at the top of every legislative political agenda. There should be a lot of things done. We should be, in my view, repealing something called Section 230, which gave, platforms on the internet immunity because they were thought to be just pass-throughs, that they shouldn't be judged for the content that is posted. But we now know that that was an overly simple view, that if the platforms, whether it's Facebook or Twitter X or Instagram or TikTok, whatever they are, if they don't moderate and monitor the content, we lose total control. And it's not just the social and psychological effects, it's real harm.
This is nuts. So this is Hillary Clinton talking about Section 230 of the Communications Act. And she wants to abuse, she wants to rewrite that. And make it to be a tool of government censorship, because the only time that their nonsense is ever checked is through digital. Everything else is so controlled. It's through digital means.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Governor Walz, you claimed you were in Hong Kong during the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre when you were home in Minnesota. Can you explain that?
So I think what happened is I went to Epcot. You can go around the whole world, and I had a couple in the Germany section, and I thought I went to China. Anyway, I'm a knucklehead. But I'm sure this guy has some things he'd want to, you know, back out of as well.
Oh, man. They actually made fun of him on SNL. I don't even watch SNL anymore because it just wasn't funny anymore. And I'm like, I'm going to devote. That was like the show that you would watch as a kid. Saturday nights, and then I don't know now, but they mocked him. That was funny. Can't believe we're saying that about SNL, but
isn't that weird though that we'd have to say that?
Yeah, I know. Like, wow, the show that's about being funny was funny. It's so crazy.
Right.
They, because just being a political jackwagon is not funny. It's not entertaining. It's like anybody can be that. Just like make people laugh. It's really hard to make people laugh right now because it's so serious. Everything is so serious. I don't know. I just, I'm telling you, that was actually spot on. I thought it was an Epcot. I mean, he could have, he was in Nebraska, not really at, he wasn't in Minnesota. He was in Nebraska, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. He wasn't even in Minnesota. He was in Nebraska. So make sure you go follow us over at Substack. Chapter and Verse is the newsletter. Go sign up. You get all kinds of good stuff that goes out to you on the reg. And find us Facebook and YouTube as well. Like and subscribe. Before we go, today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. This is going to be, by the way, Juan, cut 33. KJP, first you're going to hear what is the news du jour in regards to whether or not FEMA was directing funding to these migrants over this past year and some change. And then the truth, which is a flashback cut from 2022. Listen to this.
No, Biden did not take FEMA relief money to use on migrants.
Yes, he did.
So FEMA regional administrators have been meeting with city officials on site to coordinate available federal support from FEMA and other federal agencies. Funding is also available through FEMA's emergency food and shelter program to eligible local governments and non-for-profit organizations upon request.
Yeah,
for
hearing relief for migrants.
Relief for migrants.
That's what it was. All right, folks, that does it for us today. I'll be on Fox Business in the 5 p.m. Central hour. And in the meantime, find us Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Hope you have a great rest of your Monday evening. We got the whole week to get through. We'll be back together tomorrow.